Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. It's one thing to resolve to break a bad habit, but what works a lot better is to resolve to develop a good habit. We can jump off the starting blocks into a whole new life with positive habits that can fill the vacuum of our former bondage to bad habits. Today, we'll learn how. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Pastor Lutzer brings the third message in his series, How to Say No to a Stubborn Habit. Here is Pastor Lutzer with Developing Habits of Righteousness.
There was once a man who was involved in an adulterous affair. He was a Christian man. In fact, he was a Christian leader. And of course, as a result of this relationship, he was deeply, deeply troubled and in much guilt. Sometimes he would take his Bible and he would read long passages of Scripture that condemned the sin of adultery, and he would vow that he would never, never, never do that again. There's also another man that I know who decided after smoking for 20 years that he was going to kick the habit. He had tried many, many times before, but this time it was desperately important that he do so. And so he decided that he would. In fact, he made a schedule of how many cigarettes he was going to smoke per day and decrease that number as time went on. And he had it all worked out that under no circumstances would he do anything else than break that habit. I also know a woman who was under great depression and deep bitterness, and she vowed that she would give up that bitterness. She cried to God that she would give up that bitterness. And with His help and with committing herself totally to God, she sometimes prayed for hours for deliverance that she might not be bitter. Now, one of the amazing things about all of these three incidences, all of which are true, is simply this, that in each case, the people were Christians. In each case, they returned back to their same habits. And in each case, the latter state was worse than the former. In the case of the Christian man involved in this affair, he ended up divorcing his wife, wrecking his family, her family, and causing a tremendous amount of heartache in his own life and in the lives of his children. In the case of the man who was going to give up smoking, he eventually did not hold to his habit, but went back to it again, and now is more firmly convinced than ever that he can never possibly give up that habit, and he doesn't even want to try. In the case of the woman who was bitter, she is still bitter, only now her bitterness has turned to deep depression. All three of these called on God for help, and they yielded themselves to the Lord, and they said, Lord, help me. And apparently He didn't. Isn't that amazing? Now, you can't say, oh, they weren't sincere. You know, if they would have really, really, really yielded themselves to God, that wouldn't have happened. You can't really say that because I believe that they were sincere. I believe that they were as sincere as it is possible for people under those conditions to be. And the gospel, which the Bible says is the power of God unto salvation, did not change them. Startling, isn't it? But it's true. How can that happen? Why is it that when we become new creatures in Jesus Christ, we can sometimes go along in life and develop a sinful habit and even ask God to help us, and He doesn't seem to? How do you break those sinful habits? Well, I'm going to tell you three reasons why the three people that I mentioned didn't break their sinful habit. And then we're going to turn to the Scriptures, which is the place where always the answers come, and we'll see how that the Bible makes provisions for all three problems that I'm going to talk about. It's amazing, though, how that the Bible has answers to questions that are very important in our lives. Let me give you three reasons why it was that they did not break their sinful habits, even though they yielded themselves to God at one point in time. Number one, they misunderstood the purpose. They misunderstood the purpose of struggles. You see, they didn't realize that one of the things that God wanted to do in their lives was more than simply break this sinful habit. They didn't realize that God wanted to do a major overhaul job on them, and that in doing that, that they would be driven very, very close to God. They didn't look at it that way. In the case of the man who was involved in this affair, he was concerned only that God take care of that one situation and leave the rest of his life untouched. You see, God wanted to move into his life and do much more than simply break that sinful habit. God wanted him to establish a new relationship with his wife and get some problems that they had had for many years straightened out. God wanted him to straighten out his relationship with his children and become a brand new man in his mind, in his heart, and in his soul. But he didn't see that. All that he wanted was deliverance in one little area. He wanted a new spark plug in his car. God wanted to give him a major overhaul. You know, you take the man who was interested in breaking his habit of smoking. You know why he wanted to break that habit? Because the doctor said that he might die of lung cancer. Now, that's a good reason to try to kick a habit, but that wasn't radical enough. God wasn't interested merely in dishing out a little bit of victory to this man so that he could overcome that. Here was a man who was basically carnal, who had taken no spiritual leadership in his home. Here was a man that God wanted to use going through this process of victory to develop him into a mature, godly individual with a very close walk to Jehovah, the Lord God. But he wasn't interested in that. He was interested in kicking a habit so that he won't die of lung cancer. You see, God wanted to use this as a stepping stone. I was speaking recently to a homosexual who was able to overcome those habits and become normal in his relationships. He is one of the most godly men I know. I don't know of any man who is as sensitive to the Lord and sensitive as to how to handle temptation as this man. Why? Because in the process of overcoming that bad habit, he was driven into the Scriptures and he was driven close to God. And he learned principles that branch out into all areas of life. And that's what God wants to do to you. If you're here tonight and you've got a bad habit, you can rejoice because God wants to use it as a tremendous stepping stone to develop character in your life and to make you a man and a woman of God that you've never been before, that in the process of overcoming that, you might be driven close to the arms of the Almighty. In the case of the woman who was bitter, she wanted to overcome her bitterness because she found out that being bitter is not a whole lot of fun. But you know, God wanted her to confess her sins of self-pity that led to that bitterness, and he wanted to get all sorts of things straightened out, but she wouldn't let him touch that. All that she wanted was to feel better. And God isn't in the business of just making people feel better. Number one, they misunderstood the purpose of trial. Their goal was too limited. They didn't see the total picture. They didn't see what God wanted to do radically in their hearts. Number two, they misunderstood the principle, or they didn't understand at all the principle of replacement. Let me explain what I mean. Jesus once said that when a demon goes out of a man and is exorcised, that demon may travel seeking rest and finding none, and then he finds out that the man whom he left, that his whole life is empty, clean, and available. And so that demon goes and gets seven others that are more wicked than he, and they inhabit that man, and the latter end of that man is worse than the former. Now, what was wrong? It is not enough merely to exorcise a demon unless you put something in its place. It is not enough simply to be able to say, "I will not do the works of the flesh." My friend, you will do the works of the flesh unless you realize that God's principle is to take a life and to fill it with the Holy Spirit and with His Word to push out the work of the flesh. And if you leave a vacuum, if you simply renounce sin and then do nothing else, that sin will be back just like that, and you'll be worse off because you'll say, ha, 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 there is no victory. And your latter end will be worse than your former. And they misunderstood that. Do you know that the Bible doesn't talk about breaking habits? You say, well, why did you call your series then Breaking a Sinful Habit? Well, preachers do some things sometimes that aren't necessarily biblical. No, I called it Breaking a Sinful Habit. But do you know what the Bible speaks about? Not so much breaking habits, as we'll see from the Word of God, it talks always about replacing them. It always says, do not do this, but do this, 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 and this. Because there's no such thing as victory in a vacuum. There's no such thing as simply trying to renounce a certain sin without filling your whole life with a whole lot of other things that will replace it. There's a third thing that these people misunderstood, and that is they misunderstood the futility of self-effort. Did you know that one of the worst things you can do when you want to really break a habit, really get a hold of a temptation, one of the worst things that you can do is determine that you will never, 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 never do this thing again? Did you know that that does not help? I was just amazed. I was thinking that this past week, and then I heard a psychologist say, and he's supposed to know whereof he speaks, doesn't he? He said, self-effort is the most useless step in overcoming an undesirable habit. A resolution not to fall into a previous behavior pattern actually causes us to do it and reinforces that behavior. You take a man, for example, who says, I am not going to take another drink. No, not me, not another drink. And all the while he's thinking of that bottle and thinking of how nice it would be if he could. Take a man, for example, who says, I'm never going to lust again. I'm never going to lust. I'm never going to lust. And all the while, he's beginning to think of what it would be like if he could. And pretty soon, he's back into the same behavior patterns. Self-effort actually, according to this man, and I think he's right, reinforces the very things that we determine not to do. And that's why it is that so many people who really determine that they're going to be different never are.
Well, my friend, what we need is the intervention of God. It's not a matter of willpower, though the will is involved, but as I like to emphasize that our resources in Jesus Christ are not automatic. They must be received. So our will is involved, but we don't depend upon that will for the power to do what we should. I've written a book entitled How to Break a Stubborn Habit. And for a gift of any amount, we're making it available for you. And what this emphasizes is our own weakness, but at the same time, God's resources to help us to live differently.
And next time, we'll get into Colossians 3 with Pastor Erwin Lutzer, who's brought part one of Developing Habits of Righteousness, the third of four messages in a series on how to say no to a stubborn habit. How to Break a Stubborn Habit is a book by Pastor Lutzer that shows the path of victory over temptation. We'd like to send it as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to us at Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.